Hi, Sycamore fans. It's time for the official podcast of Indiana State Athletics, Sycamore Sit Down, presented by Team Green Law. Weekly, we will be sitting down with coaches, student athletes, and staff members throughout the season discussing their backgrounds, current events, and more in the Indiana State athletic world. Remember to follow along with all things Sycamores on our website, gosycamores.com. Now grab a seat and relax. Here's this week's edition of Sycamore Sit Down, presented by Team Green Law.
Welcome back to another edition of Sycamore Sit Down, presented by Team Green Law. I'm Seth Montgomery, Senior Associate AD for Communications here at Indiana State, joined by two members of our football team, Rashad Rochelle and Elijah Owens. Guys, thanks for joining us today. Going into a big week against Illinois State this weekend.
Yep, no problem. Looking forward to getting into a good game this weekend. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Just like what he said, thanks for having us.
Yeah, looking at this weekend, I mean, you've got to go back just over the last month, just the way the team has started to come to gel together, and you're starting to see those results on the field. Just talk about this last month, what you've seen, especially those home wins that we had against Southern Illinois and North Dakota.
Yeah, I really think it goes back to Murray State. We finally closed out a close game, and that just gave us the belief and the confidence to do that. So I think the Southern Illinois game, we were down 17-0 at half. We knew we could come back and get back into the game. But just having come back late against Murray State and getting the win, I feel like we had the confidence that we were able to come all the way back and get the win. So getting the Southern Illinois win was huge. And then obviously the North Dakota one, winning two games in a row, beating a ranked team at home was huge. And I feel like I said, the Murray State game really personally gave me the confidence that we could come back late and win. So I feel like that was the big thing.
No, yeah, just piggybacking off what he said, I mean, I don't think anybody was necessarily surprised. You know, if you look at all of our games this past year, every game's been close. So I feel like once we decided, you know, it's time to come out on the positive side of things for once and make those corrections, make those changes, you know, we were able to do that. And it just goes to show that, you know, on any given Saturday, you know, we can turn up. So I think we just got to keep that momentum.
Well, actually, you talked about being down 17 at that one game. You look just at the history of this season so far. I mean, I don't really think that there's really ever been a game besides this past weekend where you guys were really ever out of it. You always had that feeling that that comeback was going to happen, that something was going to happen, the game was going to turn. What's kind of the feeling on the sidelines? Like, what do you guys go through during a game where you're like, okay, it's time to get going. It's time, like, we're still in this one.
Yeah. I mean, we have the belief the whole time, the whole game, and I feel like usually it takes something to spark us. I feel like Southern Illinois was Jeff getting the pick six, and that was huge, and that kind of like, okay, now we have to go. Like, it's time to go. So I feel like something usually sparks us. Even in the Houston Christian game, we didn't end up closing it out, but Pleasant's long run, that was like the spark, like, okay, here we go. It's time. We have to capitalize. Like, it's now or never. So I feel like we always believed the whole game in the second half. Like, at halftime, we had no doubts that we were going to come back because we watched the iPad, saw the film, and we're talking about things. And usually everything that goes wrong is self-inflicted or something that we did wrong. So that just getting that corrected and realizing that the only thing stopping us is us, and if we can get out of our own way, that we're going to come back and win. So and also, I feel like it's just the mentality of this team. And I feel like it starts with the coaches, and then the players are huge too. And we always just have that belief.
You talk a little bit about that belief and talk about the big plays. I mean, obviously, Rashad, you're a big part of those too with the return game. And you look at it, and half of the drives that we have are sparked by a big return. What's kind of your mindset going into that as you see the ball come down? Is it just like, hey, this is my time, this is time that I need to get going? Or just kind of walk me through how you approach it out there when you know that the team needs that big return?
It's really just, like you said, a spark. And, you know, when you're out there on the field, that's one of the things you want to create. You know, you want to bring that juice, bring that energy. So I look at it as an opportunity to not only kind of get myself going, but get the whole team going. Because special teams, like what Coach Seymour says, it's always going to be a play out there that is going to boost the fans and boost the morale on the sidelines. So why not try to go out there and make a play? And then once you make that play, it sets your offense up in good position. And I think everybody has that energy to, like, okay, now let's go score.
You've been so close to breaking at least one or two this season. Seems like it's that last guy that you're just not able to get past. Has anyone kind of gotten you on you on the sidelines a little bit about why couldn't you make that miss? Why couldn't you give us more rest out there? Or what's kind of just been the feeling? I mean, obviously you stayed out there, but
yeah. For the most part, they've been pretty cool about it. I would say the Youngstown State getting pushed out by the kicker, I probably got the most flack for. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I look at it like, hey, we got good field position. Obviously, I want to make that last guy miss. But more than likely, as long as it's not the kicker again, I'll be all right.
Hey, shout out to the kicker and players. We had Harry Trump on this earlier this year. And, hey, he wants to go out and make tackles, I think. I've seen that before. So you can't discount what they bring to the field.
No, yeah, for sure.
Looking, it's one of those ones that's kind of unique at this season right now. But 4-1 at home, obviously our final home game of the season. We're going to recognize the senior class pregame. But how important has it been just being able to put together that kind of record at home this season?
Yeah, I think it's huge, and personally, in my opinion, I think we should be 5-0 at home, let the Houston Christian one slip away from us. And actually, I was talking with some of my friends, it's actually interesting because, like, you would think, so it's, like, interesting because the stadium only has one side, so, like, you would think, okay, there's less, like, there's not people heckling them over there, but personally, I feel like it's kind of an advantage because when the other team's on the sideline, there's nobody behind it. It's kind of like they're on an island. Like, there's nobody over there to get them going. Even if somebody's talking trash in your ear from, like, our team, it can still get you going and be like, okay, like, I'm still in a college football game. But when you're over there, even, like, North Dakota, like, we made a play, and they're just over there, like, dead. Like, so I feel like that's kind of an advantage. And also the travel and being able to sleep in your own bed on a Friday night is huge, I feel like, and getting into that routine and ritual. And so I think there's a lot of things that factor into it. And then, once again, the confidence knowing that we're 4-1, should be 5-0 at home. We feel like somebody's coming in here, they have no chance to beat us. So I feel like that's just a huge thing.
No, yeah, like you said, I definitely feel like we have one of the best home field advantages in the Valley. I know from my perspective, when I hear fans trash talking me, it kind of gets me going. And sometimes I got to catch myself because I want to turn around and say something back. But that's just the energy that, you know, being in those hostile environments create. But for them, when you're on the opposing side and you kind of turn around, it's a grass field, and you're looking up and you see crows, it kind of, like, it's a docile effect, and it might, you know, kind of calm you down. So I know I wouldn't want to be on a sideline where I turn around and there's nobody looking back at me. So, yeah.
Yeah, speak just a little bit more about the crowd. I mean, when you have that big play, I mean, they go nuts out there. You see it right there in touchdown corner. You see it right there behind the team bench. I mean, what kind of extra edge does that provide you guys with home games? So this obviously led to the success we've had this year.
Yeah, it really just kind of gets you in that mode and gets you really locked in. I know even sometimes I threw Xavier on a ball against North Dakota, and, like, there was a lineman in my way, and I couldn't even see if it was caught or not, but I heard, like, the crowd erupt. So I knew that he caught it, and then that just, once again, just builds confidence because, like, I got all these people behind me. And it also makes you want to play, like, just do good. Obviously, you want to do good regardless, but do good for them. They're behind you, the coaches, and then yourself and your family. So I just feel like it adds another extra element that you just want to perform for. You know, they're taking time out their day to come watch you perform and do what you love. So it's like, I can't let them down. Like, I got to go make a play. And it really, I feel like, energizes you and inspires you to go make something positive happen.
Not for sure. I mean, that's what college football is about, you know. Obviously, we look at it, we're players, but at the end of the day, you know, people come, they watch us play, they want to see big plays, and, you know, it's our job to put on a show. We talk about that. Coach Braff says, go be you, and sometimes when I go out there, I look at myself as a performer, like I want to go out there and make plays, so just being able to make a play and then see them, you know, getting happy, you know, it brings joy to my heart.
We've talked about getting into the routines. We talked about just being at home and being able to sleep in your own bed. Obviously, home week this week, so you're back in those routines. Just kind of walk me through what the typical week looks like for you guys, whether it's practice or just personal life as you guys go through it.
Yeah, so when we have a home game versus an away game, the away game kind of cuts down on a day of rest, I would say, even though you're not physically doing something when you're traveling, you're still moving and your sleep schedule's getting messed with. But, I mean, Sunday is kind of a recovery day, watch the film. And then Monday morning, we come and watch the film. That's kind of when we put it to rest, good, bad, or indifferent. No matter what happened, we kind of feel like we take the things that we can learn from and then leave everything else behind. So obviously, I mean, we had a terrible loss on Saturday, but there's still positive things to take from every game. So we take those on Monday morning, then Monday night, we get into our opponent for that week. And then meetings throughout the week, practice Tuesday, Wednesday. We're on Thursday today. We got meetings, lift, and walkthrough. And then Friday, I feel like that's the big part because we're at home. So Friday is just kind of like a chill day. Like, we don't have to be in here until 1 p.m. We have meetings and then stuff at night and eat together as a team at night. And you're kind of just free after like 7 p.m. So it's like relaxing. I can go hang out with my friends, watch a movie, do whatever, rather than be on a plane or a bus and having to be moving and using energy. So, and another thing, we go to B-Dubs on every Thursday. Okay. I feel like that's a ritual, and we kind of got some superstitions behind that. But I feel like, yeah, just being at home is huge, and I feel like we got to figure out a way to win on the road. We got one more guaranteed road game, so that would be huge to get after we get this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, I think for me, I kind of like away games. I'm like a sightseer type of guy, so whenever I get to go somewhere different, I like to take pictures and just kind of keep those memories. But now being at home is definitely an advantage. You don't have to worry about packing and forgetting stuff. Like, I'm a big forgetter of things. Like, I forget a toothbrush sometimes. Like, just random things I forget. But being at home, I don't got to worry about that. And then, like you said, that Friday night, kind of just chilled, maybe do some homework, watch a movie, get my mind right. But when you're on the road, it's constant movement. It's rarely any time where you really have any downtime. And the only downtime you do have, you kind of just want to go to sleep anyway. So being at home, I mean, it's great.
Got to ask about the sightseeing. I mean, what's one of your favorite places that you've been to so far this year? What's a place that you've enjoyed and why?
Youngstown State was pretty cool. This past game at South Dakota, because at the hotel we stayed at, there was a river right behind us, and it was flowing. So, and there were some pretty cool houses in the background, so I got a few good pictures of that. And then Purdue. I like to watch their campus. Their campus life was really neat. And then when you drive the buses in on game day, seeing everybody kind of standing outside, that was pretty unique. So, yeah.
Yeah, looking at that, I mean, I enjoy the tradition. I enjoy just the basic week-to-week of being a home, but I also like getting on the road from time to time too. But I agree with you on that. You lose that day that you could have just to rest, relax, and move forward with that. Looking both of you, I'm going to kind of ask this question for both of you, but Elijah, I'm going to go with you first. I mean, obviously being named a captain this year with your second season on the team, what's that mean to you, and how have you seen yourself kind of grow this year in that role?
Yeah, for sure. It means a lot. Just to know that I got the whole team behind me, and the players voted for me to be named captain. So I feel like it's huge, and that just gives me an extra boost of confidence, knowing that regardless of my performance, they're gonna love me and they're gonna treat me like a brother. So I feel like that's a huge thing. And then, like, just talking with my parents and my dad, he always tells me, like, just lead by example and always do the right thing no matter who's looking, because you're more visible than you think, and people's always gonna see what you're doing. And if you're taking care of business, then people's going to follow you. It's just like the nature. If you're taking care of business and doing good things and getting good results, then people are going to want to follow you. So really just trying to uphold that standard that we have here of just trying to do everything first class. And I feel like, most importantly, like Coach Bass says, I was just being me. And I feel like I'm a genuine person, and I try to just inspire people around me and make other people better.
Obviously, Rashad's in his first season here. How have you seen just his development and growth into a kind of leadership role with that wide receiver unit and offense overall?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because he's kind of like a jokester, I would say. So he kind of leads in a funny way, because he'll say something in a joking way, but people will know that he's serious. And then the way that he's able to turn off that joking mentality and just get super serious on the field and take care of business and even still be joking on the field, people know that he's not just messing around, like, he's dead serious. So I feel like that's a big thing, and the receiver room just kind of gravitates to him because it's a unique leadership like quality that most people don't have. Most people are just, when they're trying to lead you or get you to do something, they're just like super stern or super like that. But he can go out on a branch and really figure out how to pick people's minds and get the best out of them. So I feel like that's a really interesting thing.
Well, you heard Elijah's perspective. I've got to ask you, how have you seen yourself kind of grow and develop into the, kind of a little bit of that leadership role this season?
It was kind of unique. I got here in the springtime, and I didn't really know anybody except for him and a few other people. So I think the main thing, which is going out there in my first semester here, was like, okay, well, I have to earn my respect, right? So just going out spring practice, performing, and then gradually, you know, you start building these relationships, start building these friendships, you start seeing what different guys' personalities are like. So now it's like, okay, I can match my personality with him, I can match my personality with him. And then, like you said, everybody responds to things differently. Like, I've been in those situations where I wish somebody would have came at me a different way to kind of, you know, bring the best out of me. Even though I know they were coming in the right manner, it was just like, you don't always have to beat a guy down just to try to bring him up. You know, you could jokingly be like, hey man, like, come on, let's go. And that's sometimes all the guy needs, and I feel like I built that relationship with the guys in the receiver room to be able to do that, and they know that I'm coming from the right place, so.
when he talks about the jokes and everything like that, do you actually have like everything prepared, or is it just more kind of reactionary to what the situation is?
Nah, sometimes it's prepared. Like with certain dudes, it's definitely prepared, but 95% of the time it's kind of reactionary, because in that moment, you know, something might happen. And even if it's just kind of looking over and glancing at somebody, when you're both kind of thinking the same thing, you know, you get a little laugh and it just relaxes the situation, and then we snap right back into the movies.
So what you're saying is, as we get into the off season and everything like that and go through workouts, we're going to need to mic you up just so we can get some.
You might have to. I might get a few views. You might have to.
I think we might do that. I'm going to kind of ask you the same question I asked Elijah too, but obviously you've seen him take on that role as captain, also as quarterback leader of the offense. How have you seen him continue to develop and grow and kind of take the guys to that next level this season?
Nah, it's been amazing to watch. You know, he's so young, but he's so mature for his age. And a lot of guys his age don't know how to handle that pressure. They don't know how to handle that stress. But I think he does a really good job. And, you know, he's never too high and he's never too low. You know, he's always even keel. So it's just really cool knowing that the guy that touches the ball every play is back there calm and relaxed. And I know he knows what to do with the football, and everybody else around him knows that he knows what to do with the ball. So we just do our job to protect him and, you know, keep him as happy as possible. And, you know, from there, he just does what he does.
I mean, you say calm and relaxed. I don't think I've ever seen anyone just kind of like absorb themselves into that recliner like that. He looks like he's taking a nap right now.
No, that's natural. He's not even kidding. Like, that's literally him.
We've already talked a little bit about the day-to-day as a practice, but, I mean, one of the things that you deal with in college is the student part of the job as well. What's kind of the day-to-day for both of you from the student perspective, and how does that tie into the time management that you have to deal with football?
Yeah, luckily nowadays there's online classes and things of that nature, so it kind of gets relaxed more than what you really think. You see some of those memes or like lists on like social media where it'll be like, wake up, da-da-da, class, practice, and I feel like that's just not realistic. But still, there's definitely a time management thing to it. I have classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm just all online with it. So that makes it easier for me to manage my time. And then Tuesday, Thursday, really just going there and taking care of business. And I like to say that I could get all my work done and then just relax later, but obviously everybody procrastinates a little bit. So I try to get my work done on time as best as I can. Sometimes I fall behind, but really just managing my time. And like my dad told me, he said, just get your work done first and then the fun stuff later. Because if you start doing the fun stuff first, you won't want to do the work later. So I really just try to take that. And yeah, the time management is definitely a skill that you're not prepared for in high school, because it's kind of just like, yeah, you go to the same routine every single day. But the time management is definitely huge, and I feel like you have to learn that, and nobody really teaches it. So you just have to figure out on your own how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was fortunate to be able to like kind of pick my schedule. Okay. And then being a little older, like I have so many credits now that the classes that I have to take aren't so strenuous. So I'd say I got it relatively easily. I mean, time management, I wouldn't say is that big a deal for me. Just get my homework turned in on time. But for other people, yeah, I've kind of seen other people's schedules. It gets a little hard.
Yeah, talk about, and this kind of question is going to go for you, but I'm going to go with you first, Rashad. I mean, obviously you transferred in here from Rutgers. So just talk a little bit about your experience going through that process, and then ultimately what brought you to Indiana State, what kind of led that decision to, I wouldn't necessarily say go into the transfer portal or anything like that, because we don't need to go into that history, but what kind of led through that process that's made you decide, hey, Indiana State's a place I want to go?
I'd probably say going to high school, you know, the big dream of mine, I wanted to play at the highest level possible, and I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. I had a pretty good freshman season out there. I scored my first, like, college touchdown at Rutgers. So everything was going well. My sophomore year, everything's still going well. But I just felt like I needed more from a situation. And, you know, me and him, even though we were in two different spots, we were always still in communication. Like, I would check up on him, see how he's doing. He would check up on me, see how I'm doing. And then when our season was over, I still felt like something was missing. Like, it was almost like I wanted to do a little bit more. So we were kind of talking about how cool it would be to play with each other. And, you know, I was still maybe like second, third game in to the final games, so I really wasn't giving it that much thought. But as the season came closer and closer to ending, you know, I could tell that was still on my mind. And usually when stuff like that just sits on my mind, it's more than likely a sign from God that maybe you should give this a bit deeper thought. And then eventually decided that I was going to enter the transfer portal. Coach Mallory, he reached out the next day, offered me a scholarship, and then we just kind of went from there, and here I am now.
Okay. I mean, came in as a true freshman last year. Just talk a little bit about your recruiting process, what brought you here to Indiana State.
Yeah, I really only had two offers, and it's actually funny because I don't even know if he knows this or not, but one of the big things that made me commit here, because my dad and his dad are kind of close, so I was on the phone with his dad, and he basically asked me, he's like, what are you waiting for? Because at this time, I had an offer from Indiana State, and I had an offer from Army, and he basically told me, he's like, what are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. And it really made me think, I'm like, what am I waiting for? Because I didn't have a dream school. I just wanted to go somewhere where I felt like I was at home. And I really got to thinking about it. And he was like, if you feel like it's right, then like pull the trigger. And at this time, like, he was already at Rutgers, like no yeah. even thoughts of transferring. So, but he just told me, he's like, if you feel like it's right, then do it. And I prayed about it that night, and I slept on it, and I woke up, and I just had a feeling like I could envision myself being here and being successful and living out my dream. So that was one of the big things. And then all the coaches making it feel like a family and feeling at home, and then only being 3 hours away, I feel like that was the perfect distance. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but that was one of the funny things about it.
You both are starting to reference a lot of things. I'm going to ask the question, but obviously you just said dads are close. You've mentioned knowing Elijah a little bit. Just what's the history? What's the background? How did you guys get to know each other? And, I mean, question I've been asked several times by our TV crews, too. Did you all get to play against each other before you ended up coming here to Indiana State?
Yeah. I feel like that's actually a funny story. I feel like, I mean, ever since I got to high school, he was kind of a big name, so I knew of him. We weren't really close. I don't know if we ever talked, but so my freshman year, his sophomore year, I was still a backup, so he played against us, and they beat us. And then my junior year and his senior year, they came to our place, and it was close. We came back, and he's laughing right now because he knows what I'm about to say. And I still remember to this day, he threw Mitchell Logan a pass that I say hit the ground. It bounced off the ground and into his arms. Mm-hmm. And then they called it a catch, and they went down and scored. And that basically sealed the game. So I feel like we should have got away with that one. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about it now unless we end up in the NFL on different teams and I can get them back. Something like that, but right now I'm 0-1 against them, but I'm gonna get them back one day.
No video replay of that one at all, or
nah, just not unfortunately not.
Nah, I mean, well, we I remember the first time I think we worked out with each other. It was this guy Charles Hopkins at Lanford High School, and that was where it really all started. And like you said, my senior year we played against each other. I wouldn't necessarily say the game was close, but I mean, it was a bang bang play. I think he caught it.
Okay.
He could say he didn't, and then yeah, we went down, scored, sealed the game. But nah, we've been knowing each other, like, I think his freshman year, my sophomore year, and then ever since then, you know, just keeping up with each other. Even like I said, when I was in college, he was still in high school, like just talking, just seeing how everything was going, see what was happening in each other's lives, and like I said, here we are now.
A little bit of that history between the two of you. Have you felt that that's translated a little bit to the field this year? Because I mean, it seems that there's certain times where you're scrambling and all of a sudden Rashad's just reactionary and you find each other out there. Has that kind of helped out a little bit, or is that just something that's been honed over practice over the season?
Yeah, I feel like something about hanging out with each other outside of football, you just kind of, and it's funny because I feel like somebody's personality can dictate what they're going to do on the field.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to explain it, but like if I'm rolling one way, I can kind of just look at him and know which way he's going to go. And then, actually, a funny thing, I feel like video games help with that, too, because I've played against him a lot in video games, and like, EA or Madden video yeah. games, and I kind of know what he's thinking in certain times of the game, like, do we need a big play here? Do we need to just secure it and get a first down? Do we need to get out of bounds? Is he going to go this way and then go that way because of how the dude's been reacting all game? So I kind of feel like it's just like a football IQ thing, and knowing him as a person on a deeper level than just football, I feel like that plays a huge role in it, knowing what he's going to do. I'm going to do, and he trusts me to get him the ball.
Another thing I think that helps me is I played quarterback in high school, so mm-hmm. I put in high school. I never yeah. did in college, so I don't know what it's like back there now, but I know in high school, I know what I wanted my receivers to do at least, and when I made a transition to play wide receiver, it was like, okay, I have to be that perfect wide receiver for my quarterback. I have to be open on time because I know it gets hectic back there. And when things do break down, I remember when I was a quarterback, I was kind of always looking for the big shot.
Yeah.
So whenever that's available, you might as well always try to take it. And we have hit some of the big shots. But like you said, it's just kind of knowing what each other's thinking at the certain times. Like, it's 3rd and 2. Sometimes, you know, I don't always need to go 50 yards downfield, you know. Mm-hmm. Just go get the 3 yards and, you know, get down, keep the chains moving. But just being around each other a lot, I think we have a lot of similarities, and we kind of think schematically the same when it comes to football regards. So just knowing that and being able to just go out there and then at the end of the day play freely and make those plays.
Yeah, before I ask my next question, it's about you being a quarterback. I've got to ask, who's got bragging rights when it comes to Madden or anything like that? Like, where's the series sits? Who are the teams that you guys go with?
I think I got them right now. As far as the series goes, the last time we played, I think I won.
I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I think he got me. But the thing about video games is luck definitely comes into play. And you can ask anybody that's ever played against him. He's probably one of the luckiest players you'll ever see. I mean, the ball's getting tipped up, and somehow his player always comes down with it, or it's a loose ball, his player always comes up with it. So
so it's kind of like the Bears Commanders with that Hail Mary pass.
Yeah, it's something like that. I mean, he can say what. I mean, I guess he has the bragging rights in it. Mm-hmm. Personally, on Madden, I like to use the Chiefs. I like Mahomes. He got the little hot route master. You can change everybody's routes, and he just kind of uses everybody because he's lucky. So it's like it don't really matter what he uses.
I would say I'm more of a skill-based player when it comes to video games. I wouldn't say I necessarily use everybody. The two teams I usually stick with are the Dolphins and the Ravens.
Okay.
Dolphins, you know, Tyreek Hill. I kind of do whatever I want out there. And then sometimes when I just feel like, oh, I'm better than him, I'm just running around with Lamar the whole time and just make him upset. So when it comes to that aspect, like, I know what I'm doing. And then, I mean, at the end of the day, there's luck in real life and there's luck in video games. I wouldn't call it luck. I would call it skill, just being in the right place at the right time. But, I mean, at the end of the day, as long as I'm winning, that's all that matters.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask if this was luck or skill, and I'm going to have Elijah kind of break this down. But that two-point conversion against North Dakota where you threw the ball, somehow got to Elijah. Do you talk to him about his form a little bit after that? Or just kind of walk me through what you saw when he was out there? Because did it bring back flashbacks of when he was a quarterback?
It's funny. It kind of did. So leading up to the game, Coach Bath asked me, he was like, because before he put in a play, he's like, well, I mean, the play's been in, but he was going to put in another play for him to pass it. And he's like, be honest with me, like, can he actually, like, throw the ball? And I told him, I'm like, Coach, he's one of the best I've ever seen spin. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm like, he's actually a really skilled thrower of the football. Mm-hmm. So just walking through the play, I mean, I sent him in motion, and I threw him the pass. And I'm kind of looking, it's kind of playing out in slow motion. And I look, and I realize they're in man coverage, so the play's not really supposed to work because the guys aren't looking at him having the ball, so they're going to just be guarding their man. So he kind of runs, and there's two people on him, and me, like, I'm just looking at, there's nothing I can do. And then he kind of backs up and throws the ball up, and it was kind of like a movie in slow motion. I see Ethan Chambers go up and get it, and he's laying on the ground for a little dramatic effect to try to get the crowd pumped up. So I loved it, had everybody fired up. But yeah, I definitely see him make plays like that before. So I mean, to me, it really wasn't nothing new. I didn't really have a reaction to it. I was like, I've seen him do that before. Did it to us in high school, stuff like that. But everybody else was going crazy. They probably never seen him do that. But yeah, that was interesting to see.
Who would have the easier transition, him to play quarterback or you switching out and playing wide out?
It's funny. We talk about that all the time. He thinks he can play wide receiver. I don't think he can play wide receiver. No. Nah, he always says if he did play wide receiver, he would go out there and he wouldn't wear gloves. And that's when I was like, yeah, nah. This wouldn't be cut out for you, but
I like to say I got the best hands on the team, and I mean I do catch the ball every play.
Oh yeah,
that's a big point that I use. I catch the ball every play. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little far fetched for me to play receiver. I don't know if I have all the technique, but I feel like it would definitely. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of backwards. He has more of a chance, obviously, a chance of going from quarterback to receiver than I have from. Quarterback to receiver, but because he's done it. But I mean,
we saw him take snaps earlier this year during one of the games. So I mean, there's potential to get you out wide and just see kind of what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like to say I got good hands and I can move a little bit. So I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I can talk with Bath and we can see if there's something that we can pull out. So, I mean, you know, but yeah. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think you'd be able to get out there?
Nah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think so. There's so much you got to know and learn as a quarterback that my mental capacity, I don't think I'd be up for all that. But I'll give it to him. You probably could go out there and catch a bubble screen or something slight like that.
I mean, if you go back, what was it, that Super Bowl that Foles and Brady both had those opportunities to catch passes? I mean, if you put them out there in the flat.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Yeah, you can get some easy stuff like that. I'll give it to him.
I want to go ahead and just kind of take you guys back, and you already kind of touched a little bit about high school is when you wanted to go on and take that next step. Taking back the first time you guys played football, what's your first memory of playing the game? What's the first time that you remember picking up the ball or catching it? And just when did you know that this was something that you wanted to continue to pursue?
First time I played football, I got smacked. I was ready to quit. I ain't gonna lie. No. I think I was playing running back, and I was playing up a grade. So I was in first grade, and I was playing with, like, second graders. Mm-hmm. And I remember it being so hard, and my dad was just like, don't quit, don't give up. Like, he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself at that young age. All I know is, man, I'm getting hit too hard. Like, yeah. These dudes are bigger than me. Like, you know, and I think as I progressed and I got a little bit older, I started to realize my athleticism, and I started actually making plays, and football became fun. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we get into high school, and now it's like I'm playing in front of a bigger crowd, and I'm still doing these same things. So I think once I got in high school, it was at that moment when I realized, okay, like, I could do this thing called football, and you know, I want to see how far I could take it.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. My first memory, I wasn't actually in a game, but my first memory of football, I was at the park with my dad. And this is something that still sticks with me today. It's super, super basic. But he asked me if I wanted to play quarterback, and I said, yeah. And the biggest thing that he told me was that if you're a quarterback, you have to be able to take all the criticism. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to deflect the praise to everybody else. So I feel like that's a really big thing. Not even like something that's on the field, but just how you carry yourself. If you're a quarterback, everybody's looking at you, and you even see it in the NFL. If a quarterback has a great game, it's like, oh, he's the reason they won. If he plays bad, they're like, oh, he's the reason they lost. And just as a quarterback, and I feel like it kind of plays into my personality too, I'm willing to always take all of the blame no matter what, and I'm the biggest critic of myself. And then if I'm getting praise, I'm going to deflect it to my teammates because I can never do any of this by myself. So that was one of the biggest things he told me, playing football. That's kind of something that's bigger than football that's always stuck with me. So just coming up, I always lived like that and played like that. And like he said, getting into high school and realizing you're still making these plays that you were making in youth football, and it's like, oh, like I have a chance, like this is real. And then even getting into college, there's some moments where like, oh, like this is real, like it's not just a fluke, like this is real, and I can really do this, and I'm really supposed to be here. So I feel like that was one of my first memories of football, and just my journey. I feel like that's helped me along the way. And then like he said, here we are now.
If you weren't playing football, if football just wasn't the opportunity that you had gotten, what other sport do you think that you guys would excel at? What other sport would you like to try potentially at the collegiate level?
I'm going to cut him off. He says basketball. Just don't believe him at all. He's terrible. I'm just personally say basketball.
Okay.
If you ask people that really know me, they'll probably say I'm actually pretty decent at basketball.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'll give him the stage. I'm not sure what he's going to say.
Well, before we give him the stage, what would be your signature shot? What would be, like, where do you set yourself up at on the court?
I like the corner.
Okay.
Some people would say there's less room to miss because you can't hit the backboard from there, but I'm just trying to hit the net, so I'll say the corner.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to limit myself. I think I'll do water polo, tennis, field hockey, badminton, beach volleyball. Like, it don't matter. I would just be a jack of all trades, I feel like. And despite what he tried to say, like, I feel like I'm the best hooper. I'm not going to say that. I think I'm top five on the team. We got some hoopers on the team. I got to shout out Matic Blackwell. He'd probably be the best on the team. He know we're even in that discussion. But I think I got, like, a good little mid-range that's unguardable. Kind of like a Tim Hardaway type mid-range.
Okay.
So, like, I mean,
he's throwing it back there. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really whatever you're going to say. Like, he's going to hate regardless. But, I mean, everybody know what I could do on the court. So, it's really nothing.
You mentioned all those sports. You don't touch pickleball at all? I mean.
No, yeah. I forgot about pickleball. I was a pickleball champ in my junior year of high school.
Okay.
PE class. Yeah. My team. Shout out to the boys. But, I mean, it's really whatever. Like, we can run whatever you want. What's the one they be doing out here at the tennis courts?
That's pickleball.
That's pickleball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really whatever at the end of the day.
One that I forgot is ultimate frisbee.
Okay.
I can throw a frisbee pretty well. I feel like that kind of ties into football.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Like,
that doesn't
throw it down the field and jump up and catch it. I feel like if I saw like somebody like Rashad on the field like that and they just threw it up, then I'm gonna go get it. So I'm like,
are you regular hammer? Like, what's your go-to?
I kind of throw like this.
Okay. Yeah, you got the side throw. Now, I know soccer, they mentioned that pickleball was a big one with them when I've talked to the soccer players. Is there any kind of rivalry between the teams, or do we need to set one up, just tournament for court rights? Or
personally, the only thing that might get me is stamina, just running up and down the field. If we play like a little half-court game of soccer, I feel like I could do
well, I was talking about pickleball.
Oh, you're talking about pickleball?
Yeah, soccer is a whole nother beast.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that, pickleball?
I was going to say we can get them in soccer, too, to be honest with you. But, nah, it's not really a rivalry. Pickleball, I'm not going to lie, you might have to set that up. I'd be interested to see how they would handle that. But whether they wanted to do it on the soccer field or on the pickleball court, I think we got them. So.
We're going into another home weekend. Obviously, we're recording this on Thursday. It's going to come out Friday mornings. But walk me through what still has to happen. What are some of those pregame superstitions? What are those pregame meals? Those things that you guys both kind of go through that help you get in the right mindset and everything going into that game?
Yeah, as far as pregame rituals, home games and away games are different, obviously.
Yeah.
But we're home this week, so tonight we're going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. About five or six of the guys like to go out, and I always get the same thing personally. I feel like I try to keep the same exact routine every single week. Yeah. And then tomorrow we're going to come and have meetings. But pregame rituals before the game, always before we go out, I walk around the field and I walk in each end zone and touch each goalpost and then come back in. And then I listen to the same song, Hey Soul Sister. Just kind of reminds me of my mom and gets me in that zone, remembering why I do this. And then after we put the pads on, I sit in my locker with headphones in and I don't play anything. I just kind of have the noise cancellation on. And then I read a devotional and pray and then give it a praise to God. And then after that, I just kind of review some last notes and then go out.
Gotcha.
So, I'm be honest, my pregame rituals, they kind of weird. So, on Fridays, I start off with Chick-fil-A. Like, once we're done with meetings, I get some Chick-fil-A, but chill.
What do you get there?
I just get a number one. I think that's just the plain regular chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And then I get a vanilla milkshake, no whipped cream, no cherry.
Interesting.
Yep. And then I come back, and I try to watch a show. Recently, it's been Outer Banks with the new seasons, but before that, it was... what's the one with Mike Ross?
Suits,
yeah. I was watching that in the summer, and then I couldn't watch it because of training camp, so I was able to pick that up during the season. And then when that's all said and done, I take like a little bubble bath, I put some candles on, listen to some Giveon, and just kind of chill, relax, and then go to sleep. I wake up the next day, I go to the gas station, and I get peanuts, and then I get like a little energy drink to kind of mix them together. And then when I get to the stadium, I don't really listen to music. Like, I kind of be in a locker room joking around.
Yeah.
Or, like, we'd be watching, like, football up on the screens, and I'll kind of, like, just say, whoever is rooting for who, I'll, like, joke with them, be like, nah, they're going to lose. And then I go out in the field, and then I kind of, like, walk in, like, a little rectangle. But, like, usually the other team be kind of warming up, and, like, I kind of, like, mess around, like, walk through their drill or whatever, and then keep it pushing. And get back into the locker room, and then I put this one song by Future. It's called Pluto Ski.
Okay.
But it got some like crazy ad libs, and I don't actually like sing the song out loud. I just like remember the ad libs out loud, but like I'll do it in a way where like I know everybody hear me. And it's just kind of funny. And then from there, it's time to bring it up by then. But yeah, I just mix the peanuts with the energy drink, listen to some Future, and I'm ready to go.
What's the energy drink? What's the flavor that you're going with right now? Just because, I mean, some of those don't really go with the peanuts.
So, recently I've been on Rain, but I think my top three is Gatorade, Ghost, and then the Rain. Gatorade is, I think it's like blueberries. It's blueberry something.
Okay.
Ghost is the Blue Raspberry Sour Patch Kid. Mm-hmm. And then in the Rain, it's like tropical, like sherbet or something like that. It's like pink and purple, something like that.
But, gotcha.
Yeah.
One question I didn't get to, and I want to backtrack just a little bit as you talk about Indiana State and everything, but majors, what's a major, what's a point of emphasis that you guys are studying right now, and what's been one of your favorite classes that you've had, either favorite class or favorite professor that you've enjoyed working with so far?
My major is sport management with a minor in athletic team management, so I want to coach whenever my football career is done. Hopefully that's after a nice lengthy NFL career, and maybe I could come back here, but I want to be a college coach, college coordinator, things of that nature. And my favorite class is probably just any one of my sport management classes. They're kind of just more of a relaxed class.
Yeah.
And it's something that I really care about. So I'll probably say that's my favorite class.
For me, I'm majoring in sports broadcasting and journalism. So I want to be like a broadcaster. Like I said, after my football career is over, I still want to stay around sports for as long as possible, whether it's broadcasting or journalism. And then I got a visual communications class right now. It's kind of like to study like pictures and like how they represent different things. I think that class is pretty cool, but I don't know. Most of my classes are pretty unique and I enjoy them.
Yeah, I mean, we might need to get a demo reel together just so I can start hearing you, because, I mean, there are some projects I've got in mind to just here for athletics, but
yeah,
we might have to talk a little bit once we get off air for sure on that. You don't make it to this point in your career. You don't make it to college. You don't make it to anything, and you've already touched on some of what I'm going to ask next, but without that support system in place for those people that you can rely on, that you can go back to, that you know are cheering for you guys no matter what, who is kind of that support system for each of you, and just how important is it to know that you've got them in your corner?
Yeah, it's huge. And I'll say, of course, it starts with family. My mom, my dad, and my stepdad, and my brother are really a huge thing. And something that my mom and dad always tell me is, no matter how you perform, we're going to love you just as much. So that's a huge thing, because it kind of takes that pressure off me, the pressure of being perfect. It takes that off of me. And then always having my friends and buddies back home text me and catching up with me and seeing how I'm doing, that's always huge, because it's like they're still thinking about me even though I moved on to college and they're in college too. So just family and friends, and then of course the coaches here and the players here, and then the fans is a huge one too.
Nah, yeah, definitely back home, my mom and dad, you know, everybody sees like the success aspect of our lives, and not all the times they don't see the trials and tribulations and, you know, some of the failures growing up. And you know, those times when you kind of question yourself, like, do I really want to do this? But, you know, they were always there for me no matter what it was, whether it was my highest of highs or lowest of lows. I could always go to them for everything. And then being here, it's like my coaches and my teammates, you know, that's my family now. And, you know, we're such a tight-knit group. I don't think there's a single person on this team that I haven't hung out with at least one time, or at least talking to multiple times. And like you said, every coach, you know, no matter what it is, you can go to them. So I think that support system between my family, my coaches, and my teammates, you know, it's what keeps me going.
Senior day this week against Illinois State. We're going to start the senior day ceremony sometime around 12:30. 28 guys in the senior class. It's one of the biggest ones that I think I've ever seen or ever been a part of. I want you both to just touch on the senior class. Just what have they meant to you? What have they done to help you both out? And then how or what do you want to do just to support them and send them off with that win this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, like Coach Mahal always says, they're the ones that have been here the longest and put the most into this this program. And really, sometimes when I think back on it, like, I've only been here for 1 year of winter workouts. And, like, when I think about how many they've done and how much they've poured into this and how much time and blood, sweat, and tears they've sacrificed, it's just huge. And it really just boosts my respect for them, and I love them so much. And they've really taken me in, still being only a 19-year-old. And they've kind of fallen behind and allowed me to lead and trusted me so much. It's huge to me. And then I feel like the only right thing to do is just send them out on senior day with a win, and then try to get the last week a win too, so we can hopefully get into the playoffs and keep it rolling as long as we can.
Nah, yeah, for sure. Like you said, some of these winter workouts are crazy. We do these things called stations, and we kind of joke around, like, man, I don't know how many stations I got left in me. But then you look at some of these dudes who have done stations for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, and it's just like, man, like, you know, they're some really strong individuals. And like I said, he was here for a year. I've been here for basically a year now, going on a year. And it's just, when I first got here, some of the seniors, they helped me, you know, really find my feet in this place. And, you know, I wouldn't do nothing more than just send them out with a W. So,
looking ahead to this weekend, again, kickoff at 1:00 against Illinois State. Senior day will start about 12:30. Elijah Rashad, I appreciate you taking the time joining us this week on the Sycamore Sit Down.
No problem.
Glad to have you guys again. This is the Sycamore Sit Down presented by Team Greenlaw. We'll be back again next time.